Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the BRBP podcast. As always, I'm your host, Bully Rye, alongside his great friend and fellow WWE Fantasy League member, Big Tex. Big Tex, how you doing today?
Appreciate that welcome, brother. Appreciate that welcome, man. Golly, getting the best friend. You know, the great friend moniker is pretty nice. But, yeah, we're on here to talk about some good things. And, man, I'm really excited about this because I think my draft was fantastic. How'd you feel about yours?
Yeah, it was a good weekend. Today is Monday, August 27th. Over the weekend, I know Big Tex and I had a fantasy draft together. I had a draft later that evening. This part of this episode, we are going to dive into the draft that we had with Will Smith as our commissioner. Will, obviously the owner and operator of 1-2-3 Pens and Collectibles. We have mentioned that a few times on our show.
Yep, definitely have.
But yeah, we had a good time during the draft. JD, what do you have anything special you want to say about the draft? Anything in particular you want to call out before we dive right in?
Man, I would have to say that doing a live draft is fantastic. Get to be around good people, make jokes, pick at each other. Give each other heat. You know, on the different paces you do. But I mean, I think the biggest thing from the draft that I remember is that kid, the wide receiver Wims from Chicago. He was lighting it up during that preseason game. So yeah, man, shout out to Mr. Wims and, you know, making our draft party a little bit better. And yeah, man, good luck to everybody that's in the league, man. I had such a good time. This is what, 5-6 years now? Our sixth draft, I believe.
I think so, yeah, 6 or 7, yeah.
Yeah, man. So like we've been doing this a little while, man, and finally glad to, you know, see our, you know, education in fantasy football come to fruition each year.
Absolutely. Yeah. You mentioned Javon Wims. He got himself drafted. We'll get into that here in a second because we had some fun draft talk. First and foremost, I think I need to second your sentiment. A live draft, if you can help it, is where it's at, man.
Bee's knees.
Yeah, if you get the chance to sit down in person with all your friends, do a live draft, take the time to socialize, that's, to me, what fantasy football is all about. Getting a core group of people that's willing to get together once a year to sit down and talk football and give each other hell. It was a really good time. Thank you for our hosts. It was Becca and Josh hosted for the second year in a row. Is that right? Yeah.
Yep.
So thank you for your hospitality. We appreciate you letting us come and wreck your house for a few hours. I also want to mention this is our third episode. I am trying something a little different with the audio, so hopefully I am coming a little clearer than I have.
It is a process, brother. It's a process every time. If it don't come out right, hopefully what you do here is something that can help you, you know?
That's right. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and dive right into a special fantasy football draft edition of Break It Down. So we'll hop right into it. Again, we drafted over the weekend in our WWE Fantasy League, headed by Will Smith. We are going to go through basically the draft order, who drafted where, and JD or Big Tex and I went through and graded everyone's drafts. So we're going to see where he and I agree, where he and I differ, and we're really going to get to see how we felt about the way the drafts went.
And let me give this disclaimer real quick. Once again, this is just our opinion, and I know some of our people in the league are going to hear how we feel about their particular teams. Don't take this personally. I just know y'all don't want to win. I do. That's all.
You know, speaking of people chiming in, we got a Twitter shout out. I forgot to mention, you can follow us on Twitter at BRBT Podcast. And if you want us to talk about anything in particular, reach out to us at brbtpodcast@gmail.com. But we actually had a tweet from a member of the league from our last podcast. The owner of the Purple Rainmakers said that you need to put some respect on Lamar Jackson's name. You care to respond to that tweet while I've got you here on the air.
Well, so wait, I need to put some respect on Lamar Jackson's name.
That is correct. I think in our last podcast you mentioned that he had some work to do.
Man. Oh, come on, man. Okay. And, you know, I had to defend myself on Saturday too. You know what? Let's put it like this. If you had Michael Vick in his prime, what was the one thing that Michael Vick did very well in his prime?
He ran the ball.
He was a cheat code, you know what I'm saying? But when he threw the ball, were you always sure that his passes were going to go where they needed to go?
Yeah, I mean, he was inaccurate in college. I mean,
He was inaccurate in Atlanta. And he didn't become anywhere more accurate until he got to Philadelphia after, you know, he had gotten, you know, did his time or whatever. Lamar Jackson, don't get me wrong, he's a great quarterback. Me being born on the University of Louisville campus, you know, I actually, you know, I've got roots there. I've got family in Shively. Shout out to the Shively out there. A lot of people, you know, they get so caught up in how good these players are in college. And when they translate to the NFL, it's mostly the homers that usually decide that they really, really, really want this person to be a lot better than they are. I am a fan of the University of Louisville, a fan of Lamar Jackson. I know his wheels are incredible. I know that he will be incredible one day. But the man needs work. If he was as good and as touted, and if he was as fantastic on the NFL level as he was on the collegiate level, he would have been a number one, number two, number three, or number four pick. He would have been up there. There is a reason why he got faded all the way till the 32nd pick or 31st pick? Or maybe in the 20s? It was somewhere in there. I'm sorry if I don't know the exact number.
Ravens traded up to get him last pick of the first round.
There you go. So nobody was even considering him in the first round. If somebody is a quarterback is drafted in the second round, it automatically comes with a sign on the front of his chest that says needs work. So I think,
I think the Ravens are, I don't want to say they're looking towards the future. I think they're tired of waiting for Joe Flacco to repeat the magic he had. Again, I've talked about Joe Flacco in episodes past, and when we get to our divisional previews, you'll get to hear me talk even more crap about Joe Flacco.
Yeah, but also in the Ravens' defense, to I don't know what you're saying, and this was said on Saturday, and I stand and I believe in this thought too, and I don't remember exactly who said it, but they said that the Ravens were crippled by the contract they gave to Joe Flacco.
Yes. Yep.
Listen, truly they were. It was incredible, incredible, incredible money. Almost like the money we're probably going to talk about with OBJ a little bit later on. But incredible money. Incredible money. So I completely want Lamar Jackson to be amazing. I want him to be that man. There's nothing more than that. But he has got to make sure that he is ready mentally. There is a reason why he is not the starter now. It is because he needs work. That was the respect I was giving the man. The fact that I am not in the NFL and that he is an automatic respect. Yeah. But
well, yeah, shout out to Purple Rainmakers of the WWE Fantasy League, aka Najee of Two Dope Smarts podcast that we've also promoted on this program before.
I'm mad that he went to social media to come at me like that. Listen, mad that he did that, the Purple Rainmakers.
We gotta we gotta improve our social media presence. Follow us at BRBT Podcast.
Don't worry. Don't worry. I got my pen out. Don't worry. I'm circling this name right here because I'm gonna have extra to say about You know, I'm supposed to be professional about it. No, I'm just playing. I'm just joking. Let's move on. My bad.
Yeah, no, you're good, man. No, I wanted to, make sure we took some time to you know, follow up with that. So getting into the draft order, you know, you're probably not going to remember all this, but we're gonna put it out there anyway. We had a 12-man league. The draft order goes, and I'm
man and woman.
Let's make sure. I apologize. Thank you for correcting me. I'm not going to try to go through team names. I'm going to go through team owners' names, and then we're going to go from there. So picks from 1 through 12 go Big Tex. Again, Najee, the Purple Rainmakers, Josh, myself. I had the number 4 overall pick. We had Daniel at 5, Jenna, your lady friend, at 6. We had Jordan, 7, who had to leave early during the draft, but we're glad that he got the pick as long as he did. We got Mike at 8. We have league champion Becca at 9. William King, who last year had a blunder of drafting Deontay Foreman in the first round when he made.
Are you sure that wasn't Devontae Freeman? Are you sure?
No, that's what he thought it was. Yeah, we know.
Oh, yeah.
And who was it? Was it Becca that came back and just completely in such a brutal and savage way drafted him right afterwards?
I think it was the very next pick.
So William King came in, and the league commissioner Will Smith drafted at 11, and the league newcomer Andre, aka the Roman Gang, came in at 12. Again, this is a WWE fantasy league, so all of our team names are WWE based. Andre,
if I can slide in real quick, let me just say something real fast. I want to say good luck to everyone that is in the league this year. But I also wanted to extend, you know, a welcome to Daniel and also to Andre, who are both new to our league this year. We have had a lot of fun in this league. We every year it grows and it gets a little bit better, like everybody's knowledge gets better. So, and, you know, for them to come in and draft the way that they did, which we'll talk about later, they did pretty well. But I just wanted to, you know, on air, you know, make sure that everyone feels welcome before we, you know, deliver these hot fire.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, because in that sentiment, I just wanted to call the Chappelle Show and saying, I hate you, I hate you, I don't even know you, and I hate your guts. I hope all things in life happen to you and nobody else but you. And that's to go for everybody in this league, because I'm tired of finishing in towards the bottom of this league. Last year, we talked about it on another podcast, I had injuries completely cripple my team. So yeah. I don't wish injury on anybody else, but I definitely hope that every week my players show up and yours don't. So,
hey, man.
In all seriousness,
I got a trade I got to tell you about it a little bit later on, too. Okay. Remind me about it.
In all seriousness, Daniel and Andre, welcome to the league. Roman Reigns sucks, Andre Mark. So we've given you the draft order. We are going to go through and now give you our rankings on who we thought drafted the best to worst. So right now, JD, again, you had the number 1 pick. I had you at the number 4 spot in the best drafts. You gave yourself number 3. Tell me why you gave yourself number 3 and not number 1.
Man, I just, you know, of course I wanted to give myself number 1 real bad. I want to give myself number 1. But, you know, I felt like that what I did this draft was I was smarter. Every year I've been going after people that I've been chasing those big name people, you know, wanting to get my hands on Julio and Antonio Brown and all those cats. But to be honest with you, there aren't many of them left. You know, there's a reason why they say the top 10 is just the top 10 or the top 12 is just the top 12. But most of the time, the people that usually crack that top 12 at the end of the season are those that you pick up in the second, third, and fourth rounds. The people that, you know, you have belief in, but maybe they have an obstacle to come over. Maybe there's an injury that needs to happen, which we don't want any injuries to happen. And once again, I want to say a solemn, you know, heartfelt, man, oh, my dog, I'm sorry to Marquise Lee, man. That was a horrific knee injury. It feels like every year that you see one that is just incredibly hard to watch. There was Cameron Meredith last year, and then Teddy Bridgewater a couple years before that. And then, you know, who else? Last year, Zach Miller from Chicago, he tore his knee up pretty bad.
Yeah,
and that was two years in the same season. Yeah. So, yeah. But you know, to get back to what we're saying, I just felt like that with the picks that I had, being in the first pick, I had to do a lot of back-to-back reaching, you know, trying to make sure that I got who I wanted. And I'll just go through real quick with one of the reasons why I felt like I was strong. Number one pick, of course, I took Le'Veon Bell.
There was
a no-brainer. And with this, with us having keepers, I want everybody to understand, Gurley, Zeke, Melvin Gordon, DeAndre Hopkins, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham Jr., Christian McCaffrey even, all those people were taken in the first round. So I didn't have much to choose from except for Le'Veon.
I actually want to go ahead and make a disclosure here. We have keeper rules in this league and the league that we're gonna discuss in our next podcast or in our next segment, whichever comes first. The keeper rules go: anybody on your team you can keep as your first round draft pick. It doesn't matter. After round 11, anybody that you draft you can keep as your last round keeper. And I think we had mentioned that on our previous podcast. But, yeah, you're right on. Guys like Antonio Brown, Melvin Gordon, Zeke, CMC, Gurley, they're all already gone. So
yeah,
the number one
they're already gone. Mm-hmm.
You've got to take the number one player available. Le'Veon Bell was the number one pick. So, I mean, there's no way you're wrong picking him at number one.
For sure. And you know, as the number one pick, I said on the earlier podcast I wanted to keep Dalvin Cook, but that just wasn't happening. So real quick, I'll just run through who I chose. With the first pick, I had Le'Veon Bell. Followed that up with the receiver tandem, Stephon Diggs and Amari Cooper. Running back, Royce Freeman. Then Jamal Williams from Green Bay. I took the Rams defense, Alex Collins, Trey Burton, Mike Williams, Pat Mahomes. And then also another disclosure in our league. Starting from round 10 on, 11 through 17, you can keep one of those people as your last round pick in the next season. And last year, I chose Julian Edelman, who was on my team this year. For next season, I already picked him. I went ahead and took Darius Geis. He was rumbling, bumbling, and on his way to something amazing. And I really hate that he got cut short. But I will have him next season right off the bat. Follow that up with Chris Godwin, Michael Gallup, Jonathan Brown, Eric Ebron, and then Julian Edelman, who was my last round keeper. I just felt like that I solidified myself with very strong running back depth. Having Trey Burton, getting him, you know, as late as I did, you know, as a tight end, I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, round 8, round 9, which is excellent for him in value-wise. And I think that, you know, I went real, real deep on the Rams D, but, you know, I felt like that, you know, it was just a stab I needed to make. So, basically my side of it. Go ahead.
I kind of want to echo your sentiment. So, I mean, like we've already mentioned, you can't go wrong with Le'Veon Bell at number one. The reason I didn't put you up higher, I thought Stephon Diggs in the round 2 was solid. Adam Thielen was still available. I personally would have taken Adam Thielen over him. Royce Freeman's getting a lot of love right now in Denver. I think you went through your list of your draft. I think you took some flyers on some people that should pan out. I don't think you mentioned having another quarterback other than Pat Mahomes.
Nope, it's just the one.
Because we've never seen him as a consistent starting quarterback, but I think it's a good move getting him as late as you did. You mentioned you might have gone a little early drafting your defense. That's kind of where I was coming from too. That's the only reason why I had you as low as 4 on our draft list. Rather than go to the number 2 pick, Najee, I think we need to talk about our – I don't know if you call it our botch, but the I think we need to talk about the person who had the worst draft before we go on anywhere else, because we can talk about this probably for an entire show, and I want to talk about it in order to kind of get it out the way, so that we can go on to the more important things and really get into the bulk of the rankings.
Let me add one thing before we move on.
Absolutely.
We got to remember to let everyone know, when we drafted, we only drafted 16 rounds instead of 17.
Yeah.
So
this league,
I did actually get a second quarterback.
Yeah.
And my second quarterback is Mitchell Trubisky. That's who my backup quarterback is. Sorry.
Our commissioner forgot to take into consideration that our starting line is full of 3 wide receivers. So we drafted 1 round fewer than we were supposed to have. So we all went through and put in waiver claims. hopefully this won't happen again. But for this day, we only drafted 16 instead of 17 rounds, which is why you'll see some of that. Anyway, normal leagues only have 16 players, but because we have a third wide receiver in the starting lineup, we're supposed to have one more. So, yes, thank you for pointing that out, too. So, we came to an agreement, and I think if anybody else in the league is actually listening to this, they're going to agree, too. Poor Mike, man. Mike, juice worn.
Oh, the juice.
Perennial, I don't want to call him a bottom beater because it sounds too mean. But he has not finished high in the league, I don't think, since I've been a part of it. And, you know, let's just put this out there for starters. He had Cam Newton as his first-round keeper from last year. From year prior to last year, and he wanted to keep Cam Newton as his first round pick again this year. Our keeper rule only allows you to keep a player once, so he was not allowed to keep Cam Newton. And at the 5, 6, 7, at the 8th overall pick, he decided to keep Christian McCaffrey rather than risk drafting him to be able to keep him next year. In saying that, Mike drafted Cam Newton in the second round at the 14, 15, 16, 17, 18th overall pick. Some notable names that got drafted after Cam Newton, Travis Kelce, Greg Olsen, Jarvis Landry, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Chris Carson, Allen Robinson. I mean, the list goes on. There's a bunch of talent that got drafted after Cam Newton. I mean, we could go on talking about this draft for days. I mean, poor Mike, he took Jay Ajayi. He's not a terrible third-round pick. I mean, he took Ted Ginn in round 4. Again, if we're talking players that were drafted after Ted Ginn, Travis Kelce, Craig Olsen, Royce Freeman, Allen Robinson, Michael Crabtree, Kirk Cousins. I mean, it was astounding.
It's a travesty. It's a travesty.
And poor Mike, every pick we tried to say, listen, man, you got to look at the list. You got to know what you're doing. And he said he knew what he was doing. One thing that you cannot say about Mike is that he's not loyal, because most of the people on his team are either current Carolina Panthers or are former Carolina Panthers. Notables, obviously, I mentioned Ted Ginn. He got Devin Funches. He got the Panthers defense in round 8. Jonathan Stewart, who will be the backup running back in New York in round 10. I mean, what more can I say? Big Tex, you want to chime in on poor Mike's draft?
I guess that when I look at Mike's draft, what shows itself the most is, like you said, he's just all about the X and, you know, all about the current, you know, Panthers. But there are a couple of people on here that kind of, you know, tip my, you know, pique my interest. One of them, Jay Ajayi. A lot of people are falling off of the Jay Ajayi wagon. They don't think that Jay Ajayi is going to produce what they're looking for. But Jay Ajayi is going to be in a offense where we've seen him pop a few big runs. And he was behind LeGarrette Blount. And LeGarrette Blount almost is just like Frank Gore when he goes to most teams. Everybody wants that New England Patriot LeGarrette Blount. That's what they were looking for. Now they have Jay Ajayi, who last season proved that he could be healthy for a whole season. Of course, he didn't get the same workload. But, you know, he got gutted just like in Dominic. So, and Jarvis Landry, you know, they were trying to get rid of everybody last season. But they didn't really get rid of him until the end of the year.
I think my concern with him taking Jay Ajayi is not that he drafted Jay Ajayi, is that he took him in the third round.
But here's the thing, man. Here's the biggest thing that you and I have talked about before. When it comes down to it, when you're sitting drafting live, you're sitting there thinking about the people that you're drafting with, and you know where they're going to go. And if you know that these people are going to be taking the people that you're looking for, then you got to take that step and grab that person. You got to be willing to sacrifice and be like, well, if I believe Jay Ajayi, is going to be an RB1, and I take him in the third round, then Jay Ajayi is going to be my ride or die. Maybe that's the way that he felt. I don't know. I don't feel the same way. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's all subject.
The same way. Yeah.
But, I mean, would you honestly be surprised if Jay Ajayi had a better year than LeGarrette Blount did last year? Because LeGarrette Blount was started for many teams last year, most of the season.
You know, I think the Eagles are going to struggle for the first few weeks of the season until Carson Wentz and Nick Foles has another great postseason, or I'm sorry, a great preseason. After such a great postseason he had last year, I think that if they can keep Nick Foles rattled enough that they have to try to run the ball, and Jay Ajayi becomes as ineffective as he was at times in Miami, then Ajayi is going to be the same guy that let me down in one of my leagues where I took him early last year. But moving forward, he took Austin Hooper in round six against notables that we're taking after Austin Hooper. We're looking at Carlos Hyde, Robert Woods, Delanie Walker, Isaiah Crowell, just a lot of Kyle Rudolph, a lot of really good names taking after Austin Hooper.
I will tell you this, though.
I don't know if he watches the whole outside of the NFC South.
For sure. But look, check this out, though. There is another one that you got to look at, too. Another person that, if there is an injury to someone who has had injuries before in front of him, another person that you got to look at is TJ Yeldon. TJ Yeldon has a huge PPR floor when it comes to being behind Leonard Fournette. I know that they're talking about they want Leonard Fournette to be on the field for all three downs. Of course they do. But they know that Leonard Fournette likes to get hurt. So yeah. I think TJ Yeldon is going to be one of these people that's probably going to give you maybe like, you know, 35, 40 catches, somewhere in there. Maybe even more, depending on how LeGarrette Blount is. And Yeldon, although he wasn't super productive, he can get behind there and carry a workload on his own. So he has a lot of potential. I don't know, man. Christian McCaffrey is supposed to have a big year, but, God, you don't have much behind that. Yeah, Mike, I just don't know, Mike. The juice is loose.
We mentioned that Javon Wims had a really, really fun week three of the preseason.
Yeah, for sure.
Mike drafted him in the second to last round because of that game. Hopefully, for Mike's sake, Javon Wims makes the team. I remember a few years ago he drafted – who was it? Kamaris Jackson. don't believe it. Yeah. So hopefully Wims makes the roster, because if you remember correctly, he, even though he was not rostered on an NFL team, Juice did not drop it the entire season.
That's true. That is completely true.
Going back to the format we wanted to try to go through, the number two overall. That's Najee's team. Yeah, we mentioned Najee. You have him ranked as – we actually both have him ranked at the number five ranked draft in our league. Vic Tex, tell me why you got Najee at number five.
Man, I'm just looking at – I'm looking at the upside that he has. Like, I mean – and I'm going to start from the bottom. Lamar Jackson, he's going to keep him for next season. Yep. You already know how I feel about Lamar Jackson. But I'm not even going to start with his first pick. Let's go from the bottom up, and I'll just go ahead and list them because I'll just run through them real fast. That way we can conserve time.
Before you go really deep into it, the first pick you're going to mention is the Patriots defense. I think the best thing that he did was draft the defense second to last. He couldn't be taking the Patriots at round 15.
And then the Patriots also have been one of the teams that a lot of commentators have been talking about, of how good they were against the run this preseason. He might have a little stash there. You know the Patriots defense, man. If Tom Brady is out there lighting it up, their defense is too. Yep. So, you know, he might be feeding off of a strong monster, and that's something that he did. He also has Tom Brady too. Quick, let me go through his team. He's got, like you said, the Patriots defense. Chris Boswell, Hayden Hurst, Paul Richardson, Deion Lewis, Calvin Ridley, Terrell Pryor, David Njoku, Josh Gordon, the Turok Cohen, Drew Brees, yeah, Juju Smith-Schuster, Tom Brady, AJ Green, and Saquon Barkley. Like, just on paper, this is one of the strongest teams, with upside included, that you can look at out of the draft. Of course, we have some real strong ones, but this is one of the strongest. That's why I had him at five, because, you know, he still has question marks. Tariq Cohen, how much use is he really going to get? To Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, he played really well without Martavis Bryant. He plays well with Antonio Brown, but is he going to play well when Antonio Brown is taking all those targets right in front of him? That's something that's going to be a little different. I think that as long as he keeps his head, he'll be fine. But David Njoku is going to be an absolute freaking monster. He is a physical specimen, and it doesn't matter if he has Tyrod Taylor or Baker Mayfield throwing the ball to him. That man is going to be nice. Nice, nice, nice. So I like this draft. I really like the way he has his group set up for success. And the one funny thing about it is that if Tom Brady does fall off, his backup is Drew Brees. The only problem with that is that his youth isn't really going to be doing anything until next season anyway. So he has literally just made sure that at the end of the season, both Tom and Drew Brees can leave. He has a quarterback in the 16th round where he can focus on stronger picks in the earlier rounds.
Yeah, one of the reasons I had him at five and not higher is because between rounds three and five, when there were still a lot of skilled players on the board, he went and drafted Tom Brady and Drew Brees in rounds three and five, respectively. That was one of the reasons why I kept him is I didn't put him as high as I did. Five is still pretty high.
Out of 12, yeah.
Experts aren't that high on A.J. Green, but he grabbed him late in the second round, which to me is a steal. Regardless of whether or not he can put up those numbers, I think he got good value for A.J. Green. I think he might have reached for Brady, but the fact that he drafted Brees in the fifth round, again, it hurt where I had him ranked in our league's drafts. When Hayden Hurst comes back from injury, he's going to have two solid tight ends that he can either deal one, play one of them, or flex rules. I think Terrell Pryor and Josh Gordon are question marks. They've already said Josh Gordon is not going to start in week one.
Yeah.
But they will have a role for him. Like I said, between Saquon Barkley, Brady, David Njoku, and A.J. Green, he's got a really solid – starting position number one at all the key positions.
So I think somebody we keep stepping over is Paul Richardson, man.
Yeah.
Paul Richardson, I mean, a lot of people are not paying attention to Paul Richardson. Like, he's there, and I'm going to even say Josh Dotson, too. Everybody is all over the little mighty mouse that they call, you know, Jameson Crowder. But look at the pedigree of Paul Richardson as a possession receiver, and look at the upside of like the red zone threat of Josh Dotson. If Alex Smith let's even talk about Adrian Peterson real quick, even with him in the backfield, Samaje Perine or Rob Kelly, they really don't have to have superb production from the backfield in order for them to still be dangerous down the field, throwing the ball. With Vernon Davis, who has been wrecking as the backup for Jordan Reed, and Jordan Reed, who is an absolute monster as long as he's healthy. Like, Alex Smith is in a good spot, and I think that Paul Richardson is too. My bad. Let's move on.
Yeah, no, Paul Richardson, someone to look at going forward this year for the Washington Redskins. The third pick in the draft, we had Josh, who – you had Josh ranked at number 11, I had Josh at number 3. Let's just go through his draft. He's got Antonio Brown in the first round, and I'll just read through it. LeSean McCoy, Keenan Allen, Jarvis Landry, Kenyon Drake, Allen Robinson, Marshawn Lynch. He got Jordan Reed in round 8, Randall Cobb, Corey Davis, took Chris Thompson and Rashad Penny when the keeper pick started. Willie Steed, Nelson Aguilar, and he kept Carson Wentz. I personally had him in number three because of the simple fact that although the Sean LaSource scares me, if he doesn't make Disney time due to off the field issues, starting lineup has him, current starter of Miami, Kenyon Drake, Antonio Brown, Keenan Allen, Jarvis Landry, just to me, really dangerous. I know he didn't grab a quarterback. Oh, he didn't grab a quarterback at all because he had Carson Wentz in the last round. So, I can see why you would have him late because he currently doesn't have a quarterback. I believe he may have picked one up now that we had our waiver pickups after the draft. But I like the way his starting lineup looks. It looks like if he can get a serviceable quarterback until Carson Wentz comes in, then he's going to have a dangerous team. Why'd you have him so low?
Because the same reason why I'm asking why you have him so high, I guess. When you look at Antonio Brown, I mean, that's a no-brainer. Carson Wentz is last-round keeper. No-brainer. Cool. But let's look at this. LeSean McCoy, who could be playing all season, but he might not be playing, but he might get, suspended next season. So if he gets suspended next season, he might be fine. But who does LeSean McCoy have helping him up there? So we'll move on. Keenan Allen, money, no question. Jarvis Landry, he should be money, but, if Josh Gordon is anything like what Josh Gordon used to be, Jarvis Landry isn't going to be what he used to be. Kenyon Drake, he's sharing time with Frank Gore. Let's move on. Allen Robinson, he is in a very good position, although we haven't seen him all preseason. But they say he's fresh, his legs are good, he's in contact drills and stuff like that. But we haven't seen him in a field drill yet, actually on the field in front of us yet. So hopefully, in preseason week four, we'll see him. Marshawn Lynch, old time, a wrecking ball. Man, beast mode will be fire. I think that he will be. But then Jordan Reed, injury prone. Randall Cobb, injury prone. Corey Davis, bottle rocket. Chris Thompson, won't be good until November, although they say he looks good. Rashad Penny, just had surgery on his hand. Willie Sneed, he left the Saints to go play in Baltimore? Get out of here. Will Lutz, all right, cool. And then Nelson Aguilar. Nelson Aguilar was fire for a few moments. He will still be a decent possession receiver, but the man is only going to catch you like 60 balls in the season, maybe even 50, especially with the pecking order the way that it is. But then again, they might have Sutfield out there starting instead of, or is it Sutfield or Sutherland? Sutfield, I think it is.
You also got to take into consideration if Alshon Jeffrey if Alshon Jeffrey can't go because of his injury for a few weeks.
Alshon is going to be on the pup, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, for a few weeks. Aguilar's going to be the number one option. He's going to grab those carries. I'm glad that, we got a little difference here. I did want to come back to your Jarvis Landry point. If Josh Gordon is the Josh Gordon of old, and you said Jarvis Landry's not going to be able to put the same numbers that he was
before,
in your opinion, who will have more fantasy points from a wide receiver perspective this year, Josh Gordon or Jarvis Landry?
It depends on what you're saying. If you're talking about in standard scoring, PPR, it would be Josh Gordon. But in our league, in the way that we run things, I would have to say that it will probably be Landry. And the reason why Landry will probably do the upside, I take that back. I think that Landry will have more catches, but I think Gordon will have more points just because of his explosiveness and his touchdown upside. Landry got 7 touchdowns last year, but he has never been a touchdown guy. Josh Gordon was the number one receiver in football. He's already done that before. And to be honest with you, he is smarter, and he looks faster, and he looks stronger than he did when he first started. So I just feel like the upside is fantastic. And with Josh Gordon missing that first week, I don't even think that's going to be a problem.
So to specify, you're saying that Josh Gordon will have more fantasy points this season than Jarvis Landry?
Yes.
I say that Jarvis Landry will have more fantasy points than Josh Gordon this year. Add it to the card.
Add it to the card, baby. Add it to the card.
our Survivor Series picks this year. We will be going throughout our shows and coming up with comparisons that we're gonna have a year long event
going. You know what I was just thinking, Frick? I was just thinking about something, man. We should take this and, like, I know you're pretty good with the drawing and stuff, brother. So why don't we set up an actual, like, a card, like, you know, like the card for All In, or kind of like the shirt that Will had on.
I got
that would be fresh, bro. Let's do a card like that so we can post it so everyone can see our bets throughout the year.
Absolutely. Our card bets, so to speak, our Survivor Series, I'll draw that up. This is going to take up a whole show. So this is what we're going to talk about. And the next show, we'll discuss my other draft from over the weekend. Next up on the list, we've got my draft at number 4 overall. I gave myself, and you agreed, the number 6 overall draft in our league. Why don't you tell me why you thought that I was middle of the pack and not higher up?
It's because it seems like that as you picked your draft, that you picked a plus and a negative. Not necessarily a negative, but you went with safety and also upside. So David Johnson being your first pick, I really, really thought about David. I really did. But I chose Le'Veon, so we're not even going to go into all of that. But David Johnson is fantastic. He is literally going to be 75% of the Arizona offense.
Hopefully he's going to be the running back that took me to the championship 2 years ago.
I you know what? And I think that he will. Like, his wrist injury was weird. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was not his wheels. It was not his knees. It was not his ankles. He's still in a pretty good position. He's still going to be productive. There's no question about that.
Yep. The offense for the Green Bay Packers, Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, my friend, as long as Aaron Rodgers can stay upright, or at least when he gets tackled, not get crunched or sandwiched or, you know, fall on top of him by somebody that's a super kegger, he should be able to light it up. The only problem, and this is what I said last year, and I know a lot of people didn't get to hear this, of course, because we just started the podcast, but last year I said, Davante Adams has so much upside, but his problem is his mouth. And the reason why he kept getting his head knocked off last season and those DBs were making him pay, they were making him pay because of his mouth. It's just like in wrestling. If you give somebody a stiff shot, you're going to get a receipt. You know? And I don't condone bad hits. And that goes with that also goes with this statement about the Marquise Lee hit. I don't remember exactly what the cat's name that hit Marquise Lee was. And I'll look him up in a minute when I'm not talking. But the shot that he took at Marquise Lee was straight at his knee. Now, I know being on the field that when you're moving, it is split-second decisions. But if you are going in intentionally to hurt somebody, you need to rethink why you are there. If you are making a solid hit where you get a good clean tackle and you hit the dude and blow him up and put him on the ground, you pick him up afterwards, that's all the receipt that you need. That's all that you need. But I think that Davante Adams I think he brings hard hits upon himself. And that's just me.
Well, I think the fact that he's not, from a football perspective, not necessarily his mouth getting him in trouble. I think from a football point of view, Adams is going to be a stud this year because he doesn't have to compete with Nelson. But I don't think he's
going to be able to come in solid. I mean, the only person he really has to contend with is Randall Cobb, and Randall Cobb is not going to be holding a candle to him whatsoever.
Jimmy Graham in a minute. Jimmy Graham is there now. Aaron Rodgers has had some good tight ends in the past. He hasn't really featured tight ends in that offense, but. My personal feeling, I kept Andrew Luck in the last round. Because of that, I think I reached for Aaron Rodgers. My fourth round pick was Greg Olsen. I think I reached for him too. But
Greg Olsen is safety. Is safety.
And he missed a lot of games last year due to injury. Before that, he hadn't missed a game in most of his years in the NFL. think hopefully he'll be able to come back to form. I think I'm a little weaker at wide receiver because I drafted David Johnson, Devontae Adams is my number one options for running back wide receiver. My next receivers were Marquise Goodwin and Doug Baldwin. Marquise Goodwin's had a really good rapport with Jimmy Garoppolo in the offseason or in the preseason. Yeah. Baldwin, I know he's injured right now, but man, he's on the field. Russell Wilson is constantly looking for him.
He's money.
Great. I think he's going to be money. Chris Carson, when Rashad Penny comes back, it'll be interesting to see how that relationship works or how that carry workload comes. Adrian Peterson in round 8. I wish I could have waited until the last round to be able to take Adrian, or last few rounds to take Adrian Peterson as a last round keeper. But
you took him because I wanted him. Let's just go ahead and get that out there.
I took him because I wanted him, and I took him because I was afraid of him falling farther and farther. I didn't want to miss out on him, and I really think he's going to have another, if not, I don't think he's going to have a record breaking season. He's going to have a solid season in Washington.
He's going to be serviceable. I think he'll probably have somewhere in between 7 to 10 touchdowns. Because like Matthew Berry was saying, that the Redskins have a ton of inside the 5 carries, where they had 10 of them last year between 2 different running backs. Adrian Peterson inside the 5 is almost money as long as the O-line is somewhat adequate. So, yeah, I think he'll fall in the end zone like Berry said. It was 7 to 10 touchdowns. Yep.
Moving on, I got a couple of other solid – I guess picks on the fly. Peyton Barber, at least coined in to be the starting running back at Tampa Bay. Duke Johnson, starting my last round keeper picks. Kenny Galladay, who I think is going to be considered number 2 by the end of the season in Detroit. Kenny Stills, who now that Devontae Parker still under practice, Kenny Stills is under Miami. And my defense around 13. I think the Chargers defense, I'm a back homer. The Chargers have Melvin Ingram, and the rest of the defense is solid. I took the Chargers defense. I took a guy, Jalen Bavage. Experts have talked about him. Dolphins love him. Training camp, I'm hoping by the end of the year, he takes over his lead back in Miami, which is why I took him so late. And if it does wind up being the case, then I'll be able to use him as my last round keeper last year. And then I took my kicker again, Gamecock Ryan Suckup, in round 15. I think, for lack of just saving time, I think I started off great by taking David Johnson number 4 overall, considering he's going top 2 or 3 in most leagues. Thank you, Najee, for taking Saquon Barkley instead of David Johnson. I think Devontae Adams was a great pick at number 2. But then I feel like I reached for a couple guys when there were other skill players out there that I think could have replaced maybe Aaron Rodgers and Greg Olsen as some key contributors. That's why I gave myself a number 6.
Yeah, and I do want to say one thing about your team. Other than that, there are 2 people that I wanted to touch on. Number 1, Duke Johnson. Duke Johnson is phenomenal. If that kid is healthy, he is going to give you points, 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 points. He is an automatic lock for the flex position. Number 2, Kenny Stills. Kenny Stills is a sleeper for me, and he's been a sleeper for me since they started talking about it. The one thing that we have noticed about Kenny Stills is that he can have big games. And Kenny Stills also works well out of the slot, and he works well against the second cornerback. Devontae Parker is going to be dealing with a lot of the number 1 cornerbacks. Kenny Stills is going to be great as a fill-in receiver, especially to back up Doug Baldwin and Devontae Adams when they are out. But I think that you're fine. And I think that Chris Carson also is a good pick too. He's going to be the man until – it's Rashad Penny, I believe. Until Rashad Penny gets his life right, you know, and gets his hand fixed and stuff and, you know, gets everything together, he's going to be – I mean, Chris Carson's the man. So,
it,
you know.
Doesn't hurt my chances that I'm in the same division with Mike.
Oh, my God.
The next person we're going to talk about is also in my division. I've got him right below me as well. And then Andre, which we'll get to, he was the 12th overall pick and the Roman mark. He's also in my division. That's why I think I'm set up for success, even though I drafted him in the pack. Next up, right. I had him at number 9, best draft in the league. You had him at number 7. I'm going to tell you why I had him at 9 before I let you go in on him. I think his team looked like a 2017 draft. Yeah, he got Julio Jones, Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook, you know, again, would have been great last year. He was supposed to be really good last year. I know they're saying really good things about him this year, but I don't see it coming for him. I know your girl's a Bears fan. I'm sorry. Brandon Cooks, I don't know. That offense in Los Angeles is going to be like number one there, but they paid Brandon Cooks number one money. Cameron Meredith, again, good pick before last year, coming in off an injury. Don't know how he's going to look. Same thing with Lamar Miller, Carlos Hyde. Last year, if he had taken them in the sixth and seventh rounds, they would have looked like a deal. I don't think either one of them had really been fantasy relevant in quite some time. I think he got a steal in round eight with Kyle Rudolph, considering Kirk Cousins likes to throw it right in. Rudolph has been, you know, red-nosed reindeer. He likes going in and catch Christmas presents in the zone. So I think a lot of his team came from his Christian mark. David Hawkins in the ninth for Kevin White. He took his kicker in the 12th round. Justin Tucker took his defense next round after that. And behind them, he was Brooke, Jay Howard, Chris Ivory. I don't hate his team, but I just think, again, a lot of question marks with his team specifically in the running back position after Leo Jones at wide receiver and after Tucker. I think a lot of question marks.
I'm just sitting there looking at it, and to me, honestly, I don't see a whole bunch of question marks. Right now, Derek Carr, quarterback, you could call him a question mark. But I think Julio, Dalvin, Jordan Howard, I think Cooks is going to be fine. Cooks is a stretcher. They tried to stretch the ball with Robert Woods last year, but he just couldn't make it happen. Brandon Cooks has that speed. Cameron Meredith, I think that's way too high. Especially with the injury that he had last season. It just seems like that was just a super reach. However, Lamar Miller and Carlos Hyde. Lamar Miller just got the quarterback that made him look the best that he's looked in years. He just got him back this year. The second thing is that when Deshaun Watson is on the field, he is going to be opening up lanes for Lamar Miller because they are always going to be afraid in the play action. They're always going to be afraid that on the bootleg that Deshaun Watson is lost or gone. So I think that's just going to benefit him. Carlos Hyde was definitely serviceable last year. I had him as my RB2 all season last year, even though I didn't want him there because I didn't know how he was going to perform. He was steady, and he was doing what he needed to do. So I think Carlos Hyde is going to be good. Kyle Rudolph.
Before you go into Kyle Rudolph, I definitely wanted to mention, you mentioned Cameron Meredith being too high. I just wanted to touch on the picks right after Cameron Meredith in this draft. Theo Riddick, Demaryius Thomas, Devin Funchess, Alshon Jeffery, Jimmy Graham, and Zach Ertz. Those were the next six picks after Cameron Meredith. I mean, it's just everything Cameron Meredith didn't fall into the second half of the draft, which is one of the reasons why I have Daniel ranked so low in my WWE.
Yeah.
Tell me what you're thinking about Kyle Rudolph.
I think that Kyle Rudolph is in a very, very lucrative position. Kyle Rudolph is about to go to be thrown the ball, or has already been, but he is getting thrown the ball from Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is a tight end lover. He had Jordan Reed. The only thing that he didn't have when he didn't have Jordan Reed was he didn't have Jordan Reed. He still had Vernon Davis, who was still making the same plays that Jordan Reed was. He wasn't as versatile. He's not as dynamic. But, I mean, Vernon Davis is a beast in his own right. So when you look at Kyle Rudolph, who has some of the most sure hands of a tight end, and look at who he has had to work with over the past few seasons, I think that Kirk Cousins is going to make Kyle Rudolph a viable tight end one again. Like, I think that Kyle Rudolph with Kirk Cousins, well, 9 times out of 10, I can see him being a top four, top three tight end. I don't see Gronk, Kelce, and Ertz sewn up 1, 2, and 3 again. I think one of these guys is going to fall off. I hate to say it. I think it's going to be more Ertz than it'll be Gronk and Kelce just because of their usage. But I also feel like that if Gronk gets hurt, that's it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Tom Brady is going to have to deal with what he has to deal with. So Kyle Rudolph is in a great position. I don't think that there's much more on this team that we really need to touch on. Kevin White got his first touchdown that I've seen on actual television. That was pretty exciting. Sammy Watkins, he and Tyreek Hill are kind of talking each other up, which I think will be a good thing. Eddie Westbrook, man, did you not just step into a big situation where you can definitely benefit with the injury to Marquise Lee? So, and another person, Chris Ivory. Once again, touching on that LeSean McCoy thing. If LeSean McCoy gets in any type of trouble when he leaves, the man behind him is Chris Ivory. But keep your eyes open for another guy over with the Jets. And I just remembered this. Don't forget about Sharkhandrick West because he just signed with the Jets too. So that might be somebody. If you're looking for somebody sleeper-wise that might be able to take a job, you know, or that might be able to step in and run. Because if you remember, Sharkhandrick West was the top running back for the Chiefs for a while with injuries. So he might be somebody else to keep your eyes open for too. But let's go ahead and jump over to Jenna. Yeah.
Jenna ranked fourth in our league. I've got her different there. I'm not going
to. I'll handle this one.
Especially because I don't want anybody to think you're showing favoritism to your girl or anything by putting her in the top five.
I'll handle this. Okay, so, and plus, you know, I don't want her to lash back or hurt anybody because, you know, Jenna's my baby and all. Okay, so this is her. I'll just list the team and I'll just touch on it real quick. We don't have to take too long. Jenna had Melvin Gordon as her keeper from last year to go in round one. She followed that up with T.Y. Hilton, Emmanuel Sanders, Mark Ingram, Theo Riddick, Evan Ingram, Mike Crabtree, Kirk Cousins, Spencer Ware, Jameson Crowder, John Brown, Frank Gore, Allen Hurns, Matthew Stafford in the 14th round, Robbie Gold. She kept the Jaguars defense as her last round pick from last year also, which was solid. Her keepers were solid this year. The only reason why I had her so high at number 5 is because when you look at this, you see production. T.Y. Hilton, I'll just name a few of them. T.Y. Hilton, Evan Ingram will be he's hurt right now, but I think he's going to be a solid tight end. Michael Crabtree, numbers. Kirk Cousins can move the ball around. He throws for 300 a game.
He's got Spencer that he never had in Washington.
Right. He has more talent. She's got Jameson Crowder. Jameson Crowder is an 80 ball a year guy. John Brown has been wowing people. That sickle cell, I'm afraid of that. Allen Hurns, I don't think that I would have touched him with a dirty stick. I just hate to say it that way.
Who else are they going to throw it to in Dallas besides Gallup?
I mean, anybody. Throw it to the tight ends. Allen Hurns, I've never felt that he was that guy. And he's got to prove it to us. Now, can he do it? Yeah, he's in the NFL. I can't, so we'll see. But yeah. I just think that the biggest things with her team is that the biggest thing that I saw with her is that when she picked this year, it looked like that she picked a lot smarter. Like, this year she picked Mark Ingram, and that was her fourth pick, which was in round 4, of course. But if you look at it, he's out the first 4 games. She's backed herself up with Theo Riddick, with Spencer Ware, with Frank Gore. So she's got some people in there that she can plug in, you know, to give her those first four games off. And T.Y. Hilton is going to be live this year. Emmanuel Sanders, he looks great. So, and he's healthy this year. So that's all I'm going to say. But I really think she deserved number 5.
I got her low because I think she reached on. I think she reached for a couple of players, but at the same time, I think she got really good value. I think the fact she got Matthew Stafford as a potential last round keeper for next year. I had him as my last round keeper last year. I think the fact that she got him so late is a steal. I'm the one that told her to do it because she had Kirk Cousins as her only starting quarterback. So I figured that Kirk Cousins got more weapons, but if she needed a backup quarterback to cover her for a bye week, she wasn't going to find better than Matt Stafford that late in the draft. I see T.Y. Hilton with her numbers. Now that Andrew Luck is back, but I think he's going to have some share with Jack Doyle and potentially Eric Ebron. I know we mentioned you were higher on Ebron than Doyle and vice versa.
Oh, but yeah.
I think T.Y. Hilton's going to have a solid year. I just don't know.
But T.Y. doesn't have to share with anybody when it comes to receivers, man. They don't have anybody else, a receiver, that can actually take shares from him.
That also takes a lot more of the defensive coverage to T.Y. Hilton, too. So, again, right. I don't think he's a bad pick. I just think he's number two. And then Emmanuel Sanders, number three, was more – again, I think it was more of a reach. You mentioned on Mark Ingram. I think Mark Ingram is going to be a steal when he comes back in from a suspension. Theo Riddick is a PPR monster. I don't think your team is terrible. But for the first few weeks of the season, Theo Riddick, Spencer Ware technically the backup of Kareem Hunt, even though the only reason he ever relinquished that spot was because he tore his ACL before last season.
Right.
So, and then Frank Gore, we haven't seen him in the preseason, but he looks like he's going to be slotted for number one work. We don't know. Again, he's a lot older than probably any other running back in the league, next to maybe AP. So that's why I had her ranked as low as I did, because I just feel like she's got a lot of question marks, at least for the first four weeks of the season. I think she's going to struggle. The next up in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 spot, we've got Jordan Geyer, who left us early and was essentially auto-drafted the back half of the draft. I've got him.
Let's say this, though. When he had to leave, we all as a group, not only the people that he asked, but we all as a group made sure that he got the best person that was available. Sometimes life gets in the way, and I know a lot of times that, like, they try to do a lot of people try to, give people penalties for life work and stuff. But listen, you don't pay your bills by playing fantasy football. Most of us don't. So if you got to work, I think that it's good that your teammates, your league mates, are willing to take the time to help you get a good draft so that you're still competitive and not trying to screw you, in the end. So with that being said, let's go on. I'm sorry.
I think we have a really good league in a sense that we're there not to just, screw anybody over. If someone's got to leave and we're doing a live draft like this, we're going to step up and help take care of them. So,
yeah, for sure.
Jordan Kemp, Ezekiel Elliott, this is number one pick, drafting at 7. It's a really good place to get Ezekiel Elliott.
He's almost a steal at that time.
Yeah, like I said, I had him at 10. You had him at the ninth best or ninth worst draft, I guess.
I can do this one if you want me to, but go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I wasn't going to go through his whole team. I was just going to say, having Ezekiel Elliott, Michael Thomas was a second round pick. I think he got Travis Kelce in the fourth round, which is about the right time to get him regarding average draft position to EDS.
Right.
I think he got Russell Wilson at 3, which was to me was a huge reach.
Too early.
Yeah, people are looking up, and I think he might have taken Russell Wilson because before he drafted a quarterback, again, we talked about Mike taking Cam Newton in the second, but almost immediately Russell Wilson was drafted. Tom Brady went in the second pick in the third round. Aaron Rodgers went fourth in the second round or in the third round. So I think he felt obligated to take a quarterback at that point. I just feel like he took the wrong one, especially with Drew Brees still there. I don't feel necessarily good about the Broncos offense. But taking Demaryius Thomas at round 5, it might look good on paper. I just don't like it. The rest of his team, to me, nothing really stands out outside of maybe LeGarrette Blount because he'll be the touchdown vulture in Detroit. The rest of his team just doesn't really stand out to me. A mix of
I have to. I can feel that. I was going to say I have to disagree, but I don't disagree because, that's your opinion. But in my opinion, I feel like that there are people that do stand out, which I mentioned before, Josh Dobson. That's one of those people that stands out. And I know people don't want to hear this, but Charles Clay is a man. He's a man's man. And Charles Clay is going to give you tight end production that will be good. As a backup to Travis Kelce, that makes sense. LeGarrette Blount, I feel like that's way too early. Sterling Shepard is going to be a beast. And I'm just hoping that he gets the share that he's supposed to get. Rex Burkhead, they have said they want to run the offense through Rex Burkhead. I'm here to tell you, Would the way that James White looks in the preseason, why would you do that? Is my question. Here's the other thing.
He'll be coming back from injury.
Yeah, yeah, right. And then you got Jimmy Garoppolo sitting as a backup behind Russell Wilson. That's not bad at all. Philadelphia's defense, good. Another person I want to say, and I know people hate hearing this guy's name, Devontae Parker. If Devontae Parker would decide that he will stop being a scrub and that he will catch the football and carry the team the way that he's supposed to be paid to be carried the team, Devontae Parker could be something special. But this man has got a T.O. mentality with the talent of much worse than that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he feels like that he is so big, but his play level is so small.
Jay Cutler compared Devontae Parker to a faster Alshon Jeffrey. So we saw the different seasons that Alshon and Devontae Parker had last year.
But are they really different, though? Like, when you look at it, are they really different?
I compare Devontae Parker, and I don't mean to come off a certain way. I trust Devontae Parker as much as I would trust a torn umbrella in a monsoon. Like, there's nothing at this point to me would make me even take a flyer on Devontae Parker. I had him in three leagues last year. He never lived up.
And he let you down, I'm sure.
Yes, he never lived up to the height that all the experts put him up to. So, I mean, granted, he got him in the fourth round. I just wouldn't. I wouldn't trust him with. Use whatever analogy.
Yeah, he got him in 14. Yeah, he got him in 14.
So, yeah. I mean, I think, again, we touched on a lot of his draft picks. He took the defense in round 10. Isn't terrible. He took his kicker in round 12, which I think that was around the time that he was trying to leave because he wanted to make sure he got his kicker before he left. And then Carl Jones, Devontae Parker, Josh Dotson, and Devontae Booker. And we can't really blame Devontae Parker on him, because he was the best wide receiver available, and that's what the league decided to choose from.
That's true. That's true. And I mean, at that point, I mean, round 14, yeah. Devontae Parker is a number one receiver. And so back. Technically, number one receiver at round 14 is a steal.
Yeah, that's not too bad. And again, we were only one off. I had him at 10, you had him at 9, so it was not that much of a difference.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
We had Mike. We've already talked about poor Mike. In the blind side, they call Michael Orr Big Mike. Should we call this Mike, I don't know, Little Mike or Fail Mike or Mike Fails?
We just need to call him the Juice, man. Yeah, he's our OJ, man.
We all gave him our time. I approached him at the draft and said, I hope you know I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, Juice ran into that Motel 6, came in and stole all the Panthers back. He showed up, man. He was in Charlotte. He was like, hey, let me get my players back. Hey, it is what it is, though.
Majority of his team, he said, I'm going to attempt, you know, if he's at a restaurant, he's ordering. He's like, yeah, I'll take the NFC South, please. And that's
I'll take all of them. I'll take all of them. Like, it's incredible. Like, all of them are NFC South except for Jay Ajayi, Dak Prescott, Jonathan Stewart now.
But he was, you know, he's from the Panthers. Tyler Boyd, T.J. Yeldon, Finn Watson, again, Javon Wims, Danny Amendola.
Jeez.
I mean, it's just not a good team. I mean,
no, we're just going to move on. Thank you for your money, Mike. Thank you for your contribution and your time. We appreciate it.
appreciate your donation to the WWE Fantasy League.
We appreciate it, brother.
Number, let's see, that's 9, and that's the returning league champion, Becca. She kept Todd Gurley as her first round keeper. We both have her at 2. These are essentially she and Will Smith, who we'll get to in a couple picks. We were unanimous on. We both have Becca at 2. Why don't you go through and give us your take on her draft?
Okay. Reasons why Becca is number 1. In this draft, or number 2. Todd Gurley is fantastic. She backed it up with Devontae Freeman. She also has Gronk, Fitzgerald. I'm going to skip over Jeffrey, but she's got Roethlisberger, who's a sleeper. Robert Woods, who's a possession guy. Isaiah Crowell, who looks like he might be the starter with the Jets, but he needs to get healthy first. Pierre Garçon is going to get money, 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 balls, balls, balls. Carry on, my favorite son, Carry on Johnson, fantastic. Marquise Lee, hate to see the injury. I think I was the first one to post about it on the internet to let her know on our Facebook group about it. But, man, I feel bad about that. Alex Smith, fantastic. And she got Alex Smith in round 12, which I think would, he could have been a little bit later. But like you said, when we started picking, when quarterbacks started going in round 2, it kind of sped the quarterback draw a little bit faster. After Alex Smith, she's got Greg Zuerlein, Baltimore Ravens defense, Austin Shavarian Jenkins, and then her last round pick was Chris Hogan, who is basically going to be the number one in New England until Julian Edelman gets back. He might actually still be the number one.
Well, and disclaimer, Chris Hogan was also her last round keeper. He didn't fall that far.
Yeah. No. He was her last round keeper. And I just like on paper, it is money, 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 money. Holes, Alshon Jeffrey. I just don't know, man. Like,
here's how I see it. So Alshon Jeffrey's going to miss the first few weeks of the season. You mentioned Ben Roethlisberger.
He's going to be out 6. If he's on the pup, he's out 6.
Yeah. Well, in regards to Ben Roethlisberger, there's a lot of people saying they think he's going to fall off. I think he's looked great in the preseason. I think he's got awesome weapons.
I think you're
right. I think he's going to have probably one of – he's going to go out with a bang because he's towards the back end of his career. Without I think she's going to be able to plug in Larry Fitzgerald, Robert Woods. I don't know who she's going to be able to pick up outside of now that she's lost Marquise Lee. I know she's got Pierre Garçon. I think between Todd Gurley, Devontae Freeman, Gronk, Larry Fitzgerald, Robert Woods.
And Big Ben.
She can plug in Ben or Alex Smith. Big Ben has been much better at home than away. Alex Smith is going to be, he's been rejuvenated through Kansas City. Now that he's in Washington, I think he's going to be good to go. Former number one overall pick at the NFL draft. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Becca's team looks scary considering she's returning.
Right. I agree. I think she's got a lot of pull to, repeat. Yeah.
So I think the next pick we've got going, we're trying to move on here a little quicker. William King, we both had him towards the bottom of the list. You had him at 10. I had him at 11. I think what I've got down for him is he was the second to draft the defense special teams. He easily could have waited. His first running back that he drafted, which might also be his best running back, which was Derrick Henry, is in a timeshare. I think he reached for Jimmy Graham because I don't know if Jimmy Graham is going to utilize as much as people think he will be in Green Bay. He drafted a suspended quarterback as his homer pick in the second half of the draft. He got a free agent Dez Bryant. We're all waiting to see if he gets picked up, as well as an injured running back in a timeshare.
Where do you see Dez ending up? Because Dez is going to play this season. What do you think he's going to be?
We're waiting for someone to lose a big name wide receiver to injury, and Jacksonville just lost Marquise Lee. So I'm waiting for people to pick up the phone and give him a call. But
I honestly think that's where he's going to end up. Like, yeah. I mean, at first I thought New England, and still it still might be New England because I remember somebody said something a little short about me making a statement about Dez going to the Patriots. And they were like, "Oh, that's not likely going to happen because we got, they got a, oh man, he just retired, Eric Decker,
Kenny Britt got it." So there's still
Eric Decker took one good hit in that preseason game, one solid hit where he dropped the ball, and then he retired.
It'll be interesting to see where Dez goes. I know he picked him where he did because it's right at the cutoff for last round keepers. So Dez signed, or if he gets signed sometime next year, he'll be able to keep him. Just running through his draft, he used DeAndre Hopkins as his first round keeper, taking DeAndre Hopkins at 10 overall. Followed
he
it up
went
with
zero
Mike.
RB like a bad boy.
Yeah, he did. He went Mike Evans, Tyreek Hill, so he didn't get a running back until the fourth round. Like I mentioned, Derrick Henry in a timeshare with I can't think of his name off the top. Deion Lewis.
Deion Lewis, yes, sir.
I think he reached for Jimmy Graham in the fifth. I think he could have waited another round or two. Only, it looks like only two or three tight ends had gone. Kelsey, he had, Gronk was gone, Greg Olsen was gone. So I think he could have waited. Zach Ertz went right after Jimmy Graham. So I think he probably could have waited until the next round at the very least. But he took his quarterback, Matt Ryan, in the next round. Then he took his defense in the next round, round seven, which I think is super early. I think I mentioned he was the second person to draft the defense. And then somebody had taken his pick. He was on the clock. And so he wound up having to take a kicker in the ninth round, which for the life of me, I'll never be able to understand. You can take anybody with a kicker before the last round, keep a round start, and get Jordy Nelson in the eighth. Injured running back in the 10th round in Sonny Michel. We don't know what's going to happen there. Ty Montgomery late in the draft. I see there's a lot of question marks, a lot of injury question marks. He might be set at receiver, but I think he's really, really on a bench with everyone else. I don't know if you feel the same way or not. You want to add anything, or you want to move on to the commissioner's draft? Or is there anything you wanted to add?
To be honest, I think that if I was to say anything about William King's draft, sorry, it said his last name, my bad, about William King's draft, sorry, it said his name again. anyway, yeah, you know, trying to keep everybody out of here, but, you know, put your name out in the street, let's see what happens. Yep. Blame that on me. When I look at his team, the biggest thing that I see that bothers me is just how old his team is.
Yes.
Jimmy Graham, Matt Ryan, Jordan D. Nelson, even Dez can be considered in this. Doug Martin.
Right?
Yeah, Dez is 29. Doug Martin is older. Gio Bernard, I think he's still young, 25, 26. Montgomery might still be like 25, 26. But when you look at it, he has, let's go backups. Jordy Nelson is the number two. Sonny Michel is like the third string. Dez Bryant doesn't even have a team.
Yep.
Jameis Winston suspended. Doug Martin, the second stringer behind Beast Mode. Gio Bernard behind Jeremy Mixon. Tevin Coleman behind Devontae Freeman. So, like, there's he has a lot of upside, but when it comes to starters, they're all backups. So,
yeah.
I just feel like that he just seemed a little discombobulated. It might have been because he looked like, you know, the butcher from Gangs of New York when he showed up. He was definitely a Buccaneer when he showed up, which I'm a Buccaneer fan too, don't get me wrong. But, that was
– Oh, I think we can call him – you know, we've got the king of the cruiserweights, the Neville, who just got released from WWE. I think we should call Will King the king, pun intended on his last name, of the handcuffs, because his
– King of the handcuffs. I can dig it, the king of the handcuffs. Because, basically that's what he has, is all handcuffs.
Yeah.
Almost all of it.
King of the handcuffs, Will King. So,
awesome. We got two teams left. Let's do these.
Yep. So, unanimous number one draft, especially considering picking at number 11 overall, is our fearless leader and commissioner, Will Smith.
Can I say something?
I'm going to let you take this over. I'm going to let you –
This is the reason why I said he was number one. This is the reason why I said he was number one, and I'll make it super simple. Picking at number 11 is hard because you almost get to pick back-to-back, but you have two picks in between you. So every time that you pick, you're hoping that in the next two picks, your next guy isn't gone. I think that Andre, in turn, with his picks being pick number 12, helped Will a lot. But when you look at the strategy, it just makes sense. Odell Beckham Jr. was his first-round keeper from last year, who got hurt early. So that's awesome that he got to keep him. And then listen, 5 years, $95 million, and $65 million of it is guaranteed.
Yeah, most guaranteed money for a wide receiver, $165 million. Yeah,
could you imagine? Oh, my goodness. I just needed to take a moment to imagine all the zeros in my bank account.
Oh,
and just realize that, like, when I look at all the zeros in my bank account, it usually starts with a zero, then a period, then two zeros after it. But, you know, hey, it's all good. But I'm just joking. golly, what? And shout out to the man. Get paid for your work.
So at 11 overall to get Odell Beckham Jr. First of all, you mentioned 11 is hard to pick. I think it's also hard to pick because most standard leagues only have 10 teams.
So when you
think from that perspective, when you're picking 11 and 12, you're getting a second round pick as your first round pick. And almost like every other round, it's like your next round pick is actually a round behind where you're supposed to be picking.
Yeah, you always feel like you're coming up short.
Yeah, take that consideration to his draft. For him to have what we consider the number one draft in the league, I mean, you mentioned it. Odell was his first-round keeper. He got Kareem Hunt in the second. Jerick McKinnon, who's banged up, should be ready for the regular season. But between Kareem Hunt and Jerick McKinnon, two number one running backs on his team are solid picks. You got Adam Thielen in round four, which how he fell that far, I will never know. Adam Thielen is a stud across from Stephon Diggs. Now he's got he doesn't have to worry about it. He's throwing on the ball week to week. Kirk Cousins is going to be doing that. I don't think he really reached. He got Zach Ertz. I know you mentioned that you think Ertz is going to fall off a little bit.
I think he's going to fall off, but I felt like that Ertz should have gone before Jimmy Graham.
I agree.
That really was weird to me. And like I said, Will really benefited from people making bad picks either before or after him.
It was
real crazy. Like he would go – like, you go from Zach Ertz in this round, the very next round, he got Joe Mixon in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Joe Mixon in the sixth. Joe Mixon right now is usually going in the third or the fourth. So, and I mean, with me being the first round, being the number one pick, I had to watch all this stuff go by. So I'm sitting here watching these people get picked. And I think you, me, Najee, and Jenna, we kept, like, kind of talking back and forth and going, this is crazy. Like, why are these people still sitting here? How did he get Zach Ertz in round five? You know, and then you sitting there and he's going. He got James White in round nine, man. And James White is a monster right now.
I think Ertz is going to benefit from the injuries to Aguilar and Jeffrey for a little while.
For sure.
Yeah, you mentioned it. You got Mixon in round six, which is a steal. I don't necessarily like the Marvin Jones pick. I think Golden Tate is going to be that PPR receiver. I think you're going to see Kenny Galladay turn into, I think the nickname on the Fantasy Focus podcast, ESPN, is Babytron. Kenny Galladay is going to be that red zone target. I think he's got that same speed that Calvin Johnson used to have. If he can stay healthy, I think Kenny Galladay is going to surpass Marvin Jones this year. But then he got probably a top 10 tight end in Delaney Walker.
That's not probably. I watched Delaney Walker dang near tear his ACL last year and still play the rest of the football game. And I don't know if you were watching that, but Delaney Walker got caught. He got tackled from behind, and his knee looked like it twisted real bad. And he stayed down for like 2 seconds. And then when he got up, he jogged off the field. He was off the field for maybe two plays. Then he came back and he finished that whole game. And I promise you, it looked like he tore his stuff bad. So if you're saying a first-round pick, a number one tight end, I think that Delaney Walker, it could be, as long as Mariota is right this year. Oh, no, wait. Is Delaney still with the Titans, right?
Yeah, okay. Marcus
Mariota had sometimes had some I always –
last year,
I get him mixed up with the one that went to New England, and I don't even remember who it is. So
Martellus Bennett?
No, the other one.
I think it was Jake Butt that got drafted from Michigan. But no,
it's all good.
If Marcus Mariota can stay upright and he can stay healthy, I know he had this lingering injury last year that affected his hip on the ball.
Yeah, plus you got to remember the year before he broke his leg, yo. You got to – like, one thing that Stefania says, man, you can be healthy. You can come back and get all the work done, and you can look great. But until you get over that fear of getting hit again, those shots, that, I think, is what really bothered him and also Derek Carr last year.
I think that
both of them were afraid of getting hit in their legs last year all season. So I understood it completely. But, just to have – like, I mean, to go on with his team after Delaney Walker, he's got that James White, Kelvin Benjamin, Latavius Murray, Texans defense, Matt Bryant, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, And then his last round keeper, which made me even more angry, was Philip Rivers. The only thing that I have to say against this is that he has three quarterbacks on his roster. He's got Philip Rivers, Baker Mayfield, and Jared Goff. Now, Baker Mayfield, he's keeping for next season, which I'm cool with. If you're going to do that, though, I would have not even gone for Jared Goff. Yeah, and probably went for another skill position.
Yeah, you and I are the same in the same boat. I don't know why he rostered three quarterbacks other than maybe for trade bait. But, I mean, there were guys that got drafted after Jared Goff. Nelson Aguilar went after Jared Goff. I mean, Chris Ivory went after Jared Goff. Josh Dotson went after Jared Goff. So, I mean, there were guys.
Yeah.
There's one question mark is the fact that he's got three quarterbacks. But the only reason he took Baker Mayfield was to keep him for next year. But, yeah, overall, solid draft for Will.
Yeah, solid.
So the last member of the league, we're looking at Andre. You gave
last
him
but not least.
Yeah, you gave him a grade of 8. I gave him a grade of 7, which I'm now questioning if it's not too high. Another member of my division. Let's just go through his draft real quick. First to last round.
Hold on. Time out. I want to take this first pick for him, please, if you don't mind. I feel like that I'm going to need to get on Twitter and say something to Mr. Purple Rainmakers on Twitter about this. But let's talk about this. Look at Leonard Fournette. It was Andre's first pick. Okay, he got him as number pick number 12. Mr. Purple Rainmakers, who had pick number 2, he had LeGarrette Blount as a keeper. He had LeGarrette Blount as eligible for a keeper, but he chose not to take him. Yeah, Leonard Fournette. He had him as an eligible keeper, but chose not to keep him. He ended up getting, you know, Saquon Barkley, which I think that's an upgrade. But when it comes down to it, when he left Leonard Fournette on the board, I think that it literally shifted the entire draft. The reason why I say this is because look at these first four picks for Andre. Fresh to the league, he comes in and takes Leonard Fournette. He comes in and takes the rookie sensation Alvin Kamara from last year. He comes in and takes the rookie sensation Deshaun Watson, who only played 5 games but looks great in the preseason from last year. Golden Tate, who is Mr. Moneybags. Cooper Kupp, my little Cooper Kupp, just like Matthew Berry says. I catch. You can take some Samaje Perine, Nick Chubb, Will Fuller. I think he did that more for the Deshaun Watson hookup, you know, for the double pointing, especially since we went to 6 points for touchdown. I think that when it gets to Mohamed Sanu, Jack Doyle, Broncos defense, Jake Elliott, Brandon Marshall, Cameron Braid, Case Keenum, that's what it sounds like that it does. It just kind of slows down real fast. I mean, like right around Will Fuller, it drops off of it.
He started off really, really solid with Fournette, Kamara, Watson, Golden Tate. He took Robbie Anderson, which I think was a reach in round 5.
Yeah.
But then again, who else are you going to throw it to in New York?
Hey, you better calm down. Terrell Pryor's still out there. I'm just playing.
Yeah. but no, like you said, he took Cooper Kupp. I wasn't impressed with that pick because I just think there's so many weapons in Los Angeles that – I don't know. Cooper's Kupp's going to be a great slot receiver. I just don't know if he's going to get the volume. I know we talked about Brandon Cooks earlier. Between Brandon Cooks and Robert Woods, I think Cooper Kupp's going to be solid, but he's going to be more of a flex play than he will be maybe a wide receiver too.
I have to disagree. Cooper Kupp is a wide receiver 3 on paper, but he has wide receiver 2. Top wide receiver 2 upside. Reason why I say that is because he's the only one on this offense that's job is guaranteed. He is guaranteed to be throwing the ball by Jared Goff out of the slot. He is guaranteed to be going to when they need the possessions for first downs. And he is guaranteed to be the red zone threat as of right now because he was last year.
They paid Brandon Cooks number one wide receiver money.
But he's there to stretch the field. That's what he's there for.
Gave Robert Woods that number one money. I'm concerned with the volume for Cooper Kupp. So
I'm not at all. I would, that would be the one thing that I would say. I bet you, I mean, I will even put a bet on this. I feel like that Cooper Kupp will be the number one wide receiver in L.A. That's just me. Okay. I feel like that his hands, I feel like that his route running, I feel like that his smarts is what is going to make him be that person.
You're saying Cooper Kupp will be the number one wide receiver and you're going to give me the field?
I will give you the field. I will give you the field on that one.
You're going to say Cooper Kupp is the number one wide receiver in Los Angeles, and I get, and I'll say that anybody outside of Cooper Kupp will be the number one wide receiver in Los Angeles.
Yeah, baby, put that on the card.
So, going a little bit further to wrap this up, you mentioned he had Samaje Perine. I don't like Perine because, first of all, he's a little banged up. And he's got Nick Chubb, who has looked absolutely dreadful this preseason.
God, he looks like he's been shot out of a slug cannon, doesn't he?
Yeah. Will Fuller last year was not good when Deshaun Watson was off the field. When he was on there, it seemed like all Deshaun Watson had to do was throw it deep, and Will Fuller was going up and getting it. I don't think it's a great pick, but I don't think it's a terrible pick either. Then you get Mohamed Sanu, who I don't think is going to be a better receiver than obviously Julio Jones.
Think he's going to be better than Calvin Ridley either.
I think Sanu's going to be the spot receiver, but he's going to be outshined by Calvin Ridley.
Oh, yes.
Being his first pick in the keeper, in the second round keeper list, I like that pick. I think Jack Doyle is going to be solid this year now that Andrew Luck is back. The Broncos defense, I don't know if I trust them because I got a feeling that their offense is going to be so bad. The defense is going to be on the field a whole lot.
Here's my question then. Who would you keep? Because when we look at last-round keepers, with Andre's team, who would you keep as a last-round keeper?
Jack Doyle.
Jack Doyle you'd keep?
I would keep. I mean, the options are Jack Doyle, the Broncos defense, Jake Elliott, Brandon Marshall, who won't be in the league after this year, Cameron Brate, and Case Keenum.
Right?
I don't like anybody else other than Jack Doyle.
I feel that. But I have a feeling that Case Keenum could still have a real strong year. And just in case there's like tight ends out there that may end up losing a job or something, they're not going to keep Cameron Brate behind O.J. Howard much longer. Cameron Brate is going to be dealt away at some point. Just because O.J. Howard is starting to come into his own. So, I don't know, man. Like, when I look at it, I'm looking at the draft board, the spreadsheet. And shout out to you for doing this spreadsheet like this. It's awesome. He has it set up in a grid format so you can look at it and just scroll straight through. But, yeah, man, just to touch on the whole draft as a whole, I am very excited to see this season. I think that your first 24 picks – in every single draft, I think that only three or four of those people are going to shine this year. I think that when it comes to it, when you're looking at 25 and beyond, your third round and beyond, I think the third round and beyond is where you are going to find your golden nuggets. I think there are going to be some people that are going to show you some big things, like Mr. Wims from Chicago. I think he's going to come in and do some damage. It might not be him, but it'll be somebody like that. Another person people are talking about, Geronimo Allison. You've got a lot of different choices you can pick from. Once again, choose who you feel comfortable with. Don't let somebody else deter you. Don't let somebody else sway you. And if somebody gets your guy, the reason why it's a fantasy draft is because there are multiple options. So don't get so dead set on just one. And your draft can work. Now, on the flip side, we've set this roster, ranking up to where we put everybody. I like being in the top five. I think that I'm going to be doing some damage up there. But
yeah.
I am also another team that gets a lot of injuries. So,
Tariq, sorry for anybody who's on Big Texas team. I just want to recap real quick. First of all, everything you said was very well said.
Appreciate it.
To recap our draft rankings. I've got from 1 to 12 in best drafts for the WWE Fantasy League. Will Smith, Becca, Josh at 3, you at 4, Najee at 5, myself at 6, Andre at 7, Jenna at 8, Daniel 9, Jordan 10, Will King at 11, and Mike 12. Big Texas got Will at Becca at 1 and 2, himself at 3, his girl Jenna at 4, Najee at 5, I am at 6, Daniel at 7, Andre at 8, Jordan 9, Will King at 10, Josh at 11, and poor Juice down there at 12. So,
and I do have one question for you, brother.
Yeah.
I don't want to end it just yet because I want to see if the Twitter lights up. I want to see if somebody puts their 2 cents in on this one. I want to ask you. So I've been speaking to somebody about making a trade, and it's about me procuring another wide receiver. And this person, the best, I'll just go ahead and say it, Mr. King, the king of the handcuffs, is looking for some running back help. And beyond my Le'Veon, Royce Freeman, Jamal Williams, Mike, and Alex Collins, I think that, you know, out of one of those guys, I could probably trade, and he's trying to get rid of Tyreek Hill. Which running back on my team would you consider trading for Tyreek Hill?
If I'm looking at your team, I'm thinking maybe I wouldn't give up a Royce Freeman, maybe an Alex Collins.
Uh-huh.
I mean, those are your only real options because you've got a lot of. I mean, Jamal Williams and Alex Collins are the only two that you can even consider at this point.
Right, and by losing one of them, I still don't lose.
Yeah.
When it comes to having strong running backs, so I think I don't know, man. I want to know what people think. Is Tyreek Hill a stab that I need to make, especially since I have, you know, Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. So, I want to see what you guys think.
Tweet Big Tex at BRBT Podcast. Should he take a flyer and make a trade for Tyreek Hill and give up either Jamal Williams or Alex Collins in a potential trade for them? We hope you all have enjoyed our analysis of the WWE Fantasy Podcast. Our next show, we're going to dive into the Rick's Fantasy League podcast. Hopefully, we'll have some really fun stuff to talk about there, and we can get some of y'all listening. Big Tex, you got any final words?
Oh, of course, you know I do, brother. You know I do. We'll just call it the campfire at the end of the day. I want everybody to sit down, you know, cross your legs, feel the warmth of the fire or the heat from the football season that's about to start. Understand your stars are going to shine bright. Some meteors will fall. Some comments will lose all of their ice or get a little bit more frozen. I guess as Neil deGrasse Tyson says, we are all made of star stuff. You make what you will of it. You guys have a good night.
Yes. Thank you for the finisher there by Big Tex. We're going to start calling that our part of our segment, the finisher, where we close out the show. Thank you all for listening. Please, again, follow us at BRBT Podcast on Twitter. Send us an email at brbtpodcast@gmail.com. And if you have anything you want us to talk about, reach out to us. Thank you all for listening. Have a great day. And if you're down with that, we got two words for you.
Hey!